Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf peches in Zvachim. We have a little bit to go to finish up from yesterday's daf. We did good yesterday, and then we're going to start the new Mishnah on peches and Aleph, and hopefully get through the totality of today's daf. If we successfully do so, we will be finished with the ninth parak of Zvachim. Rather remarkably, we start by finishing yesterday. Somewhat of a complex daf. The issue that was discussed on the Amud Beis is Avir HaMizbech, the airspace of the Mizbech. We know the Mizbech is Mekadesh, that if you put something which is pasul, disqualified, onto the Mizbech, right, Basar, perhaps Dam, perhaps Nesachim, right, Machlokas from the beginning of the Perek, what exactly we're talking about. But if you put Psule HaMukdash and disqualify Karbonos on the Mizbech, so under certain circumstances, you keep it there, you leave it there, it becomes lachmo shel mizbeach, it becomes the quote-unquote bread of the mizbeach, right? And that is something that we've been establishing from the beginning of the parak. The Gemara yesterday entertains the following question, avir mizbeach, mizbeach tam olav, is the airspace of the mizbeach like the mizbeach or not like the mizbeach? So that means to say that something's not actually physically on the top of the mizbeach, but it's somewhere perpetuated in the air on the mizbeach. Now, up until the very end of the whole sugya, we're going to assume that even if you're standing on the mizbeach and you're holding the item in your hand, that's still considered avir hamizbeach. It's not like it's grounded on the mizbeach, it's considered like avir hamizbeach. And again, when we get to the end of the whole sugya, we'll modify our understanding a little bit, right? The end of the sugya is a little more intuitive. But right now, we're just saying that anything held in the airspace of the mizbech is that considered like it's on the mizbech or not? If it's like it's on the mizbech, so then obviously it gets to stay there. If it's not like it's on the mizbech, so it's considered like it's already been taken off, at which point in time you can't put it down on the mizbech. So this was the question the Gemara asked yesterday, and the Gemara presented sides on the issue. One thing we discussed yesterday, which we're not going to revisit today, is, well, if you hold up your mizbech, is kimizbech, is like the mizbech, so how do you have pigul? In other words, when you're holding the olas ha'of in your hand, so how do you have a machshav of pigul? So that was the Gemara's question yesterday, because if it's insulated and it's on the top of the mizbech, there's no chutzas mano. Okay? That was yesterday's discussion. It was a complex discussion because it also comes on to the issue of whether or not the top of the mizbech provides immunity or doesn't provide immunity from the psul of lina. Okay, that's a little complicated. The Gemara, we're going to continue now on the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara says, look, let's go at it this way. Right? Avir Mizbech and Mizbech Dami. We're going to say that the Avir Mizbech is like the Mizbech. Why? The Isak Adach Avir Mizbech Lavke Mizbech Dami. So the Gemara says, because look, if you're going to maintain the position that Avir Mizbech is not like the Mizbech, so Chatzos O Psula Hechim Mazim Dama. Let's imagine we have the following scenario. Let's say you have a Chatzos Oof. So we're going to use the example of birds. In this case, we're going to use a Chatzos bird, not an Ola bird. Now again, I mentioned this yesterday, I'm just going to repeat this again today. The Chatzos bird really shouldn't be shechted on the top of the Mizbech. The real place of Shechita, the Makom HaShechita for the Chatzos Oof, is really in the bottom of the Mizbech. Because you know what the Chatzos Oof, you're going to be sprinkling it on the bottom half of the Mizbech. So really, you shouldn't have been up on the top of the Mizbech, but as Rashi points out, it's Eino Ma'akev. It doesn't matter where you do the Malika of the bird. Could be done on the top, could be done on the bottom. Happens to be, we're discussing a scenario where it's done on top. Okay, now that you did the Malika of the Chatzos Oof on the top, now we are discussing a case where you disqualified it. How did you disqualify it? So Rashi says that when you did the Malika, you had a machshava of Shinui Kodesh. In other words, it's Shelo Lishmo. But you said, I'm not checking this as a Chatzos, but I'm checking this as a Ola, or another type of carbon. And we know, but when it comes to a Chatzos, a Shinui Lishma invalidates it. And we learned the first page of Masechta Zvachim. Okay, and so we are now discussing a scenario. Right now, we're just setting ourselves up. We're discussing a scenario where I did Malika with a Chatzos on the top of the Mizbeach, Chatzos bird on the top of the Mizbeach, and now we get to the following question. So we are now on the top of the Mizbeach. How, and we know the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, which means, look, it's invalidated, but it gets to stay there. But how do I get to the part where I sprinkle the blood? How do I get to sprinkle the blood? Now, in order to sprinkle the blood, remember, this is a chatas. The blood does not belong on the top portion. The blood belongs on the bottom portion. I'm going to have to somehow reach over the side and sprinkle it onto the bottom portion. Now that also means I'm going to have to pick it up and move it off the actual surface area of the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, if you don't hold Avir Mizbech Kemizbeach, okay, listen carefully because I know it's a little complicated. If you don't hold Avir Mizbech Kemizbeach, so then the moment you pick it up, that's it. It's done. It's now been removed from the Mizbeach, and there's nothing more you can do. And the Gemara is assuming, well, if the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, and the Mishnah never told us that this case is off limits, if the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, there's got to be a way to sprinkle the blood on the lower portion of the Mizbeach, and the only way the Gemara says I can envision it is by picking it up. But once you pick it up, you're now in the airspace. So the only conclusion, says the Gemara, is that airspace is considered like part of the Mizbeach. Okay? That is the proof that the Gemara now is offering. Let's read this inside. Sharp psulim, and the Gemara says, and as long as we're on the topic, we'll throw in another scenario. Sharp psulim hech zrok le midama. So, and when you have all other disqualified karbanos as well, how are you sprinkling the blood? Now here, Rashi points out in the second question, we're talking about the blood of karbanos. We're talking about when the blood's in a kli sharis. And then it gets on to another discussion. Oh, I thought kli sharis protects and insulates at all times. Okay, so again, I just want to get through the basic pshat of the Gemara without getting too off tangent. The Gemara, as it is already, is complicated. So the Gemara's answer is the Magalahu. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Please imagine for a moment, the top of this table over here is the top of the Mizbeach, and the bird's on the top of the Mizbeach, and we're going to say now that the airspace is not considered like part of the Mizbeach, and therefore we're going to need to have the bird touching the actual table. And how am I going to get down to the side? So like we discussed kind of yesterday, we're going to roll the bird or slide the bird along the top of the Mizbeach, slide him along the side of the Mizbeach until you get to the bottom half of the Mizbeach, and then do Hazah. So the Gemara says, even that's not good. Meaning even that's not what we're looking for. Because that's not Hazah. That's not sprinkling. That's called Mitsui. That's called squeezing. Now, that is part of the process of Echata Sa'of, but that's the second part of the process. The first part of the process is Hazah. Sprinkling means you are at a distance and spritzing it, which is, of course, a very technical term, and spritzing it in the direction of the Mizbeach. That's what we need to do, Hazah. So I understand that you want to keep it all in contact with the Mizbeach at all times, but then that, by definition, is not Hazah. That's Mitsui.
So, it's only part of it, like the head.
Right. In other words, keep the tail there. Okay. And we can really... So, Hazah HaMitsui Hi. Hazrika Shvicha Hi. And then the second case that the Gemara was asking about the blood that's in a Kli Sharis, what are you going to do? You're going to keep the Kli Sharis in contact with the walls at all time? So, even when you pour, that's Shvicha Sadam. You do that with the Shirayim. You don't do that with the first part of the blood. You do zrika with the first part of the blood. Va'od derech hazah b'kach, derech zrika b'kach. And look, it's not the way it's done. So the Gemara says it must be therefore that I'm able to pick the bird up and spritz. I can pick the bowl up and spritz, and it must be the airspace is like the actual mizbeach itself.
You said the airspace. This is the mizbeach. It goes up like this. So. Once it gets removed.
So that's an excellent question, Hedy. And what we're going to say is that even, look, remember, the Mizbeach is block upon block. So even when I'm on the top of the Mizbeach and I go a little bit out over here, I'm still over the Yesod. Over the Sovev, over that ledge on the side. And even if I go out even another Amma, I'm still over the Yesod.
So the aspects of the Yesod is...
So I think... I'm not 100% sure, but it seems this way. I think even when we say airspace, we mean even the airspace of the Yesod. So I could still go out a little bit over the side and still be contained within the airspace. I think so. Your question really bothered me as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Avashi, Idenak Elohu Birosha Mizbeach HaChanami, Ki Kakamar, Detalin Bekanya, ki kamar titalina bekanya. So the Gemara Ravashi says, look, what I want to revisit our entire understanding of all this. Meaning, we started off the whole discussion with a question. Is airspace of the Mizbech like the Mizbech? And up until Ravashi spoke in the Gemara, we have assumed that the moment it no longer makes contact with the Mizbech, that's it, it's already in the airspace. Ravashi says, I respectfully disagree. If you're standing on the Mizbech, and you're holding a carbon in your hand, that's not airspace. It's grounded.
You're connected.
You're connected to the Mizbech. It's grounded in the Mizbech. I don't even want to... Ravashi basically says, we're not even in the discussion of airspace yet. Airspace means when it's suspended over the Mizbech. That's the discussion of airspace. But if you're standing on the Mizbech and you're holding in your hand, that's not even airspace. You're grounded on the Mizbech. It's as if the carbon is making physical contact with the Mizbech. So Ravashi says, none of this bothers me whatsoever. The case of the chatas in your hand, the case of the bowl in your hand, none of this really even touches the issue of airspace. Because if you're standing on the Mizbeach, it's as if the item is grounded on the Mizbeach. So Ravashi says, look, all this becomes totally irrelevant to our discussion. Our discussion of airspace is when, to translate the words of the Gemara, Idanaklu Barosh. Ki ka'amar, the talina bekanya. Well, basically, you're holding the carbon, the pasul carbon, on a stick. You're not standing on the mizbeach, and you're holding it over the airspace of the mizbeach. That's what our discussion is. I know it's more theoretical. Why would this be happening? It doesn't matter, but that's what the discussion of airspace is. And Ravashi says, and therefore, all of our issues really aren't issues. Okay? And the Gemara says, my... And right, we're almost done. And the Gemara says, "And what now that Ravashi?" And by the way, Ravashi comes in, and really nobody argues with him. Nobody disputes with him. Right, his position seems to be very, very accepted. So take us. So the Gemara says, "Okay, I leave the whole issue totally unresolved. I do not know. I do not know what the status of airspace is, and in all the cases where the person's standing on the Mizbech, that's not even an issue of airspace." The object is as if it's on the Mizbech itself. Okay, I mentioned yesterday, right, I mentioned quickly today, the Rambam, he quotes the Rambam over there. Okay, the Rambam says that airspace of the Mizbech is like the Mizbeach, right? I saw the Kesef Mishnah yesterday, I saw all the Mefarshim on the Rambam, they wonder. Our Gemara leaves off the question unresolved. Our Gemara, in fact, after Ravashi comes forward and steps forward and says that when you're standing on the Mizbech, it's not even an issue of airspace. So the truth of the matter is that Gemara asks the question, the Gemara ends off with the words Teku, and the Gemara leaves the question unresolved. So the Kesef Mishnah wants to know, all the Mefarshim on the Rambam want to know, how come the Rambam was so comfortable saying that the airspace of the Mizbech is like the Mizbech when our Gemara does not come to a conclusion on the matter? Kesef Mishnah tries to provide an answer. I saw others try to provide an answer as well. Anyway... Okay. Again, I it's not.
Yeah, don't we have the Indian and other issues by Lovud when you take the
right? So right. So right. Someone asked me about Lovud as well. Look, Lovud does a lot of things, but Lovud is right. When we were making the jump from the Keves to the Mizbech, and it's a small jump, and somebody says so. No. Lovud should really connect the two.
Right.
Lovud does a lot of things. Lovud doesn't. You know, by sukkah it creates walls and it creates, you know, gaps, it closes in gaps. But Lovud is not, you know, not an actual physical partition. Right? There's a Tosfos in sukkah that talks about Lovud not helping us as serving as a kulub and as a chumrah. All right. It may be too far for Lovud.
Right?
Lovud is only Gimel Tvachim and Lovud is an Amo. And I'm sorry, and the gap is more than three Tvachim.
I'm going to say that the wall of the Mizbeach is also Mekadesh, we say.
Right, right.
So is that an airspace going this way?
I don't think, in my mind.
Otherwise, there will be no limit.
Right, in my mind, whatever it's worth. I only imagine airspace going up, much like the Rosh Hashanah Yachid airspace discussion,
right.
Where that goes up. This also goes up as well. Okay. All right, look, it's, you know, not always. Okay. Yeah. All right. We start the next mission. The next mission now. We now go talk about the klisharis. Klisharis is being mekadesh as well. Okay. So, which obviously, if you follow the continuum of the mishnayos, it makes perfect sense. Meaning, throughout the parak, we've been discussing how the mizbech is mekadesh, and now we get to talk about how klisharis is mekadesh. Now, klisharis are basically any kli, any utensil on the base of mikdash that's used for the purposes of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a kli sharis. Usually we're talking about pouring oil or flour into some sort of bowl. Now, just a little bit of background, there's going to be dry measure and wet measure. Okay? Dry utensils used for drying, utensils used for lach, for liquids. Rashi points out that when it comes to dry utensils, all right, utensils used for dry measurements, there's only two to talk about. That's it. Rashi says there's the Isaron, and then there's a chatzi yisaron, right? Whenever we talk about menachos and the mincha, the flour offering, so it's an yisaron. That's the volume that's used. How much is an yisaron? How do you convert it to what we know of? I don't know. I don't know how much an yisaron is. I should, but I do not. But that's the only measurement that's used for dry. Not the only one. There's also the chatzi yisaron. But Rashi points out that the chatzi yisaron that's being used over here is because the mincha of the Kohen Gadol that's offered daily, it's called the minchas chavitin, that is divided in half. Half of it is offered in the morning, and half of it's more offered in the afternoon. So Rashi points out that the measurement of the chatzi yisaron, it only has one purpose, and that is to divide the Kohen Gadol's mincha into two halves. One for the morning, one for the afternoon. Fine, but that's it. That's your dry measurements. Mm-hmm. In terms of lach, in terms of your liquid measuring cups, so there was a bunch of them. Rashi says later on there's seven. Seven measuring cups in total for liquids. The hin, the chatzi hin, the shlish hin, revius hin, okay, right, the log. Mm-hmm. So because there are various times when I need those different types of measurements. Okay? So just know that there's a measuring cup for dry, there's a measuring cup, two measuring cups for dry, seven measuring cups for liquid, and that's it.
And you don't interchange them.
And they're not interchangeable because they're not the same, right. They're not the same measure, they're not the same shear. And with all that introduction, now you can understand the Mishnah. Klei alach mekachin es alach. Umidos yavish mekachos es yavish. So the liquid measuring cups will be mekadesh, whatever's liquid. And the dry measuring cups are going to be mekadesh the dry, but ain klei alach mekadesh es yavish or lo yavish mekadesh es alach. But they are not interchangeable. And the reason why Rashi explains is very simple, because you wouldn't be putting the flour in the liquid measuring cup. It's the wrong size. It's the wrong size measuring cup. So what would you be using it for? It just simply doesn't serve a function for the dry. So it's not going to be mekadesh. Klei hakodesh shenikvu. What if it's got a little hole in it? As long as it's still functional, it's like we're learning Kalim now, as long as it's still functional, says the Mishnah, so and it serves its original function, so a little hole will not ruin it. And also, one last thing says the Mishnah, is that where does this happen? This only happens in the Azara. It does not happen outside of the Azara. Amar Shmuel, we start with the Gemara. Lo shanu ala midos ava mizrakos mekachin. The mizrak is mekadesh both wet and dry. A mizrak, I don't have a good English translation for a mizrak. It's a large utensil.
And basin.
Right? They say basin. It doesn't mean that. I don't know what a basin is. But it's
like a sink.
When the Nesi'im, right, here's what I do know. When the Nesi'im offered their kabarnos, so they used mizrakos, right? These big bowls / buckets, right? They used the mizrakot. And these mizrakots, because they were used for both wet and dry, meaning because they weren't for the purposes of measurement, they were for the purposes of just simply transportation, so they're mekadesh. Shenamar, Shnehem Malayim Solas, because it says, Parshas Noso, by the Nesi'im, both of them were filled with solas. So Amalei Rav Achim Diftel Ravina Mincha Lacha Hi. So Rav Acha Midifti says, wait a second. A mincha is wet, not dry. Now, interesting. Why is the Gemara suggesting right now that a mincha is wet, not dry? Because we know minachos are mixed with oil. Not all of them, but certainly the one offered by the Nesim were. And so now when you have a mincha with flour with oil, so it's like a batter. So the Gemara is assuming right now that that's considered wet, liquid, not dry.
But depends on the concentration.
Just wait. The Gemara is going to discuss. Let's just first get to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, first of all, even when I mix the oil with the flour, there's still going to be pockets of flour. So it's you can't say that the entire mixture is liquid. There's going to be pockets of flour. The Gemara gives a more fundamental answer. Mincha lagabe dam ki yavesh dami. Right? Think about what we're comparing to. When we're talking about the liquid measurements, we're talking about oil. We're talking about blood. And although blood has a very strong viscosity, but still, it's a liquid. In our minds, we understand blood is thick, but blood is still liquid. You're talking about a mincha. I understand it's mixed with oil. I understand it's a batter, but it's not a liquid. You can't really say that that is property of a liquid relative to blood. Relative to blood, it's a solid. It's a dry. So the Gemara says it's even with oil. I wouldn't call it a liquid. I'm a shmol klishar say mikachin ella shlemim, a mikachin ella malayan, ena mikachin ella mitochan. The Shmuel statement is the Klisharis is only Mekadosh when it's Shalem. Shlemim, Rashi says that would exclude if it were, this is going to be terrible, if it were holy, right? Can't have holes in it.
Puncture.
Puncture, thank you. Ein Mekadoshin Ela Meleim. It's got to be filled, Rashi. First long line on the page. Klomer, Shiehe Ben Shir Shalem, Hatzarech Ledavar. Right. Meaning, it's got to have the amount which is necessary. Look, if it's yavesh, if it's a dry, so it needs a full isaron, because a mincha requires a full isaron. But if it's missing its requisite amount, it's not going to be mekadesh. She'eino ra'oi l'kli, because it doesn't belong there. Right. The kli sharis is only mekadesh when the contents belong there. Yeah. If the contents don't belong there, i.e., because you didn't put enough in, so then the kli sharis is not mekadesh. Kli sharis is not some sort of magical, you put it in, oh, now it has kedusha. It doesn't. It's not like that. It needs to have the contents that belong in the kli sharis, which means that you have to put in a shear. That's what Shmuel means when he says malay. And finally, a mikachin ela mitochan. Mitochan means only that which is inside the kli. Okay, I'll come back to that. What that means in just a moment. The amrila a mikachin ela shlemut muleim umi bifnim. The second version of what Shmuel says is shlemut muleim. Those are exactly what he said in the first version. But then, instead of saying mitochan, he says in the second version mi bifnim. What does that mean? So Rashi says that's only inside the Azara. Mm-hmm. Similar to what we learned back in the Mishnah, it's only inside the Azara. Tosos does not like this pshat of Rashi. Tosos, we're not going to go through it now. Tosos prefers a different pshat of what Mibifne means. For the time being, we'll stay with Rashi. Okay? My Benayu, Ika Benayu, Berutze Midos. Now, the two versions are essentially the same. The point is basically the same. It has to be filled. It has to be... The cannot have a puncture to the kli, and it has to be in the first version mitochan, in the second version mibifnim. Mm-hmm. You hear a difference between the two versions? It's basically the same. Gemara says no, there is a difference between the two versions. Birutze midos. What if it's heaping over the top? If the heaping amount over the rim of the kli, is that going to be mekadesh or is that not going to be mekadesh? Rashi points out that this is a machlokus in the Gemara Menachos. And the two versions of Shmuel actually are those two sides of the machlokas. Meaning, if you go with the first version of mitochan, just simply means the inside, meaning the content, even if it's over the top. The second version, mibifnim, oh, no, the other way around.
First version will be only up to the rim.
If it's a contaminant from the outside.
I saw that. I'm sorry, Rashi, Laman Detani Emikashen El Mitochan Kasever Brutim Udos Lan Iskashen. Correct. If you go with the version of Mitochan, so that means only that which is actually in the kli itself. Any heaping amount over the rim is not going to be subject to Kiddush. Bimas Nisa Tana, we learned in a Braisa in Mikashen El Shlema Maleim Umitochan Umibifnim. Here in the Braisa, we got all four terms. We got the Shlemim, it can't be punctured. Maleim, it's got to be full. Mitochan and mibifnim. Mm-hmm. And again, according to Rashi, mitochan means only that which is under the rim, only within the rim, and mibifnim, according to Rashi, means in the azara. Okay. Am Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, Loshen Olo She'ein Da'at Olo Hosif. Aval Da'at Olo Hosif, Rishon Rishon Kodesh. When is the Kli Sharis Mekadesh? So Rav Asi says, look, if you plan on filling it to the top, so in other words, right from the get-go, you are planning on placing in a fully sewn into the kli, the moment the first first little bit goes in, it becomes kadesh. You don't have to wait till it actually gets to the top. As long as in your mind you plan on filling it to the top, it's going to be mekadesh from the very beginning. Tanya Namihachi writes the supports Rav Asi's statement, Malayim ein Malayim el Shlemim. I'm Rav Yosi. Emes Rav is Manshein Dat Lohosif. Aval Dat Lohosif. Rishon Rishon Kodesh.
Good. Kind of a time interval, you think?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I'm really not sure. Ein Kli Alach Mekadesh. I'm Rav Yitem Rav Asi. Mekadeshin Li Karev. Aval Mekadeshin Li Pasel. Now we said the two kalim are not interchangeable. Dry and liquid. The measuring cups are not interchangeable, and the Mishnah says categorically, you can't use a lach for dry. You can't use a dry for lach. And the Mishnah seems to say the simple pshat on the Mishnah is if you put dry, if you put flour in the liquid measuring cup, it doesn't do anything to it. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav or Rav Asi. No, it does have some effect. Ein mikachin li karev, ava mikachin li pasel. You're right. You're not going to offer it. You can't offer it, but it's subject to psul. It's subject to now being disqualified. Meaning that once you put the flour, the way Rashi explains it, once you put the flour in the measuring cup, even if you put it in a liquid, now if you were to bring it outside the azara, you disqualified it. You psul yotze, right? Or
is it disqualified because you used the wrong instrument? Or is it this?
No, because now that you put it in the kli, I didn't explain this well. Let me explain a little bit better. When you put the flour into a kli sharis, you've invested it now with kedushas hagaf.
You give it the right connection. Right.
So the simple pshat in the Mishnah is exactly what you said. That's only if I put it in the right measuring cup, meaning the dries have to go in the yisaron, right, and the liquids have to go either in the hin or the chatiya in, etc., etc. What Rav is introducing to us is a following chiddush. Not necessarily. Even if I interchange, it still is going to get enough kedusha so that it's subject to being disqualified. Meaning I won't be able to offer it, right? Presumably because it's not the right measurement, but it has enough kedusha where it's subject to be disqualified. Where even if I took it out of the azara, it's going to become disqualified. It invests it with enough kedusha seguf to make it now subject to disqualification.
So what are you going to do with it?
Had
it not gone into that kli, it would not have been disqualified had it left the other.
Correct. Way. Correct. Because it's not yet ready to be. Correct. Correct.
So you burn it outside.
So then you'd have to burn it. Correct. Avam mikashin li pasel. I'm sorry. So a mikashin li kavav. Avam mikashin li pasel. Iged amasni lahai mivin menachos l'nsechem menachos behem avikurim min hamaduma. You're not allowed to bring menachos, flour offerings from meduma. Now Rashi over here translates meduma as a mixture of truma and chulin. That's usually what meduma means. Again, Tosos disagrees with Rashi. Tosos offers a different pshat. Again, we're just going to stay with Rashi for now. And for sure, if the mixture is iser together with heter, so then arla and klai kerem, that also you cannot do. V'imhevi lo kidesh. However, and if you put it into a kli sharif, Kli Sharis does not invest it with Kedusha. And again, the simple pshat is, it invests it with zero Kedusha. That's the simple pshat. And now, Amar Ravi, Temer Rav Asi, lo kiddush akarev, aval kiddush li pasel. And again, Rav Asi or Rav come along and say, a little bit of Kedusha, enough to make it susceptible to being disqualified. Certainly not enough to offer it. You can't offer it. It's truma. You can't offer truma as a mincha. It's arla. You can't offer arla as a mincha, but enough to give it kedusha so that it's subject to being disqualified. Okay, fine. The next part of the discussion for today is going to be fixing kli sharis. Tana rabbanan kli kodesh shenikvu ein matichan osto ve'ein matichan losocho ever. So now you have a kli sharis and it got a hole in it. It got punctured. So now, in your own home, so when you have a pot that has a hole in it, so you'll take it to a smith. You'll have them fix it. What they did is they poured a little bit of boiling lead right into the hole, let it cool down, and perfect.
Boiling lead. No wonder everybody was sick.
Yeah. And fine. And that's what they would do. And what we're going to learn for the next part of today's daf is that in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do that. Rashi and Tosfos both say the entire issue that surrounds all these you can'ts, you can't fix your knife, you can't fix your kli sharis, is because Rashi says, Mishum de mechze ke anias, because it looks like the Beis HaMikdash is poor. V'lav orech ara, and it's just not appropriate. Meaning the Beis HaMikdash is a palace, right? My good friend Rabbi Weil said this yesterday, the Beis HaMikdash is a palace, and in such a palatial estate as the Beis HaMikdash, we don't do things that look poor. Meaning in our own lives, for sure. Yeah. Right, mend it, fix it. Right? But in the Beis HaMikdash, it's ein anios. We don't want the Beis HaMikdash to have this poor look to it. I know it sounds superficial. I know it sounds, you know, perhaps even... But it is, it's a Beis HaMikdash. Right? So, letocho ever, nifkamu, ein metaknan oso. If it has a chip in it, you don't fix it. So sakin shenivgam ein mashkitzen es pigi masa. If you have a knife that has a nick in it, we will learn in chulin. A knife that has a nick in it is disqualified. You can't use that knife for shchita. If you shecht an animal with a knife that has a nick in it, the shchita is not a good shchita. So what do? So you grind it against a stone and you smooth out the nick. You don't do that with a knife in the Beis HaMikdash. Now Rashi does point out over here, if it's a small nick, Rashi says, that's not a big deal. But if it's a large enough nick, whereby smoothing it out, it was totally noticeable. Because you kind of like see the, you know, an uneven edge. Which, by the way, that's not a problem. The nick is a problem. But if the edge is not exactly straight, but slightly uneven, that would have been fine. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, you throw it out. If the handle flies off, you don't just simply glue the handle back on. There was a sakin that was mitaref, created shreif, meaning it had a nick in it. The way Rashi explains it was like a soft metal, right? And it got pigimas, it got nicks all the time, and they took a vote, meaning they didn't like these batch of knives, and the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash took a vote, and they said, you know what, throw out these knives. Now, when I say throw out, by the way, remember that these were kli sharis. You don't just simply throw it out. You put in Geniza, but they decided no good. So they put it in Geniza.
Did they sue the manufacturer?
Now, I was debating whether or not I make chair jokes or I don't make chair jokes. And I'm going to avoid making any type of chair jokes. Why get in trouble? I'm being taped. Tanur Rabbanan. A big day kahuna in osin osam masa machat ela masa oreg. Your big day kahuna can't be patchwork. Right, you can't just simply patch the Big Day Kahuna together. Now, for the remainder of today's daf, we're treated because we're going to be talking about Big Day Kahuna for the second half of Daf Pei Ches. Hopefully, we'll get through the whole thing today. And couldn't ask for a better timing. This week is Parshas Tetzaveh. We're going to be discussing the Big Day Kahuna. And I have pictures. Anyone who would like, I'll pass it around. It's an old sefer of mine. And Phil also came prepared today with some pictures, and it has pictures of the Big Tikkun. You look at the last batch of pages where he actually should give credit to the author. I don't know who the author is. Okay,
Johnny got it signed.
Yeah, I got it signed. But take a look at the pictures over here where you can actually see the Big Dig Kahuna embroidered and okay, it'll help. Okay, and don't get too sidetracked. You still have a daf to learn. Tanu Rabbanan, Big Dig Kahuna inosin osa masa machad ela masa oreg, not patchwork. Masa machad means that you take a patch and you stitch it together with another patch and patchwork. No good. It has to be masa oreg. And again, same issue, same story. Patchwork is it looks poor, right? And we're in the Beis Hamikdash, and that's not how we want to look. It has to be a solid piece. Shenema maase oreg nizgalu ein mechabsin lo benesu velo ba'oal. If what if it gets dirty? So you can't launder it. You can't launder it with neser and ohel. Ohel is aloe, and neser is some other type of chemical, right? No detergents on it. Now the Gemara says it sounds like if it's just a little water, that's fine. So the Gemara's Abai says, well, here's what we mean. It means like it's like this. The detergent is not really the issue. The issue is how dirty did it get? If it could just simply get out just a little bit of water, get it out. So then you clean it, and you could use anything to clean it. There's no isser in detergent. Right. The issue is just simply that if the clothing is so dirty that the only way they get the stain out is detergent, not posnished. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no better way to say it. I know you don't speak this, but I'll be honest with you, I don't speak it either. But okay, posnished means it's just inappropriate. Okay, so and therefore you have to discard it. So hugel and esav all off of my ein mechabsin. The yeshomrim ein mechabsin also called ikashin anias b'makom hashiras. And some say that you never launder big day kahuna. Big day kahuna is never, doesn't matter what the stain is, even a light stain, even if it's just stain that water could have simply gotten out. You never launder clothing that's ein anias b'makom hashiras. You don't demonstrate any type of.
So they had like disposable clothing.
So that's
it wasn't disposable. That's the crazy part. Meaning that they were built to last.
Blood on.
And but the stain is even worse if done clearly. Like in terms of the.
No, you well. Okay.
Yeah, you're walking around with blood stains all over. And
right. I mean, and we're going to be learning later on about the mitzvah of kibbutz for the dam chatos.
Right. Wow.
Where there's a mitzvah to launder. Okay, we're trying to put everything together. Tanu Rabbanan. Me'il kulo shel tcheles. Me'il, something worn by the Kohen Gadol. Right? Kohen Hedger only had four clothing. The mechnasayim, the pants.
Turquoise.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had a mental freeze. The mechnasayim, the tunic that he wore. Okay. Hopefully it'll come to me. The hat that he wore was called a migbas. I know people are going to say mitznefes. Mitznefes is the hat worn by the Kohen Gadol. But the hat worn by the Kohen Hedger is called the migbas. And the belt, the avnet. And that's it. So, right? So, pants, tunic, belt, hat. That's it. That's the begadim of the Kohen Hedger. Mm-hmm. On top of that, Kohen Gadol would add four more begadim. One of the begadim is a me'il. So, me'il is basically, it looks like a pair of tzitzis. Okay? Not talus, but you know, when you put the tzitzis over you, right, the beged katan that we wear underneath our shirts. So it basically looked like that. It was much longer, right? And it goes down to the floor. And on the bottom, there were rimonim, there were pomegranates. Thank you. There were pomegranates on the bottom.
But it didn't have tzitzis on it.
It wasn't
the full corner.
It wasn't the full corner.
Oh, it wasn't.
Okay.
Something looked like
it's the turquoise one on the back.
Okay, good. Katona, thank you. Okay, right? Okay, fine. All right. So, yeah. So Tanur Rabbanan Me'il Kulo Shel Tchelis. So the Me'il itself was made of totally of Tchelis. Tchelis is the term we always use for wool that was dyed blue. Okay, so the tchelis was the meil was totally blue. Hayishenem aviyasus meil aifod kalot tchelis shulyav keipsa. Now, what was how did the bomb work? Because the Torah describes palmonim, rimonim, bells, and pomegranates on the bottom, not real pomegranates, but ornaments on the bottom that looked like pomegranates. So the Gemara over here describes maybe tchelis v'argaman v'tolashani. So for that, they would bring. Tchelis, which is blue, argaman, which is purple, talachani, which is red, all wool, shizurim, they were twined together, vaosenuson kamin rimonim, and they looked like pomegranates. So in other words, it was twined wool that was shaped into pomegranates. So I guess if you know embroidering, you'd understand how this works. I'm not the person to talk to. The Gemara over here is very detailed in its description. Rimonim shlo pitchu pihem. Pomegranates that didn't open up their mouth, meaning it wasn't a fully blossomed pomegranate. Its mouth, quote unquote, right, the opening of the pomegranate was still closed. And the Gemara even helps us further understand. Ukemin konaot shel kanasosha beroshe tinokos. Children wore a hat that had a button on it. Now, it would again help us if we knew what these hats looked like and when we knew what these buttons looked like. But the Gemara says that's what it looks like. All right. Well, maybe Shiva Mishnaim Zagin Shabam Shiva Mishnaim in Balim. 72 bells with 72 clappers. The Tolabam Shloshim Mishisha Batsazeh, Shloshim Mishisha Mitzad is that. 36 bells and clappers on the front. 36 bells and clappers on the back. And that is the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol. A small bell, small clappers. But yes, I imagine. Rabbi Dosa, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Shloshim Mishisha Hayu. Rabbi Dosa quotes the name Rabbi Yehuda, total of 36. Shmona Esrei Mitzadzeh, Shmona Esrei Mitzadzeh, 18 on one side, 18 on the other side. Amar Rabbi Eineni Bar Sason. I do not know where else in Shas his name comes up. Not a name that we're... That we see often. Eineni bar sason kamachlokes kan kach machlokes b'maras negayim. You know, we have a similar debate when it comes to tzaras as well. All the different shades of tzaras. Did now we learned in a mishnah. This is one of the first mishnayos of negayim. Maras negayim. Rabbi Dos ben Hurkan asar malamid vav. Akavya ben mahalalal omer shivim v'shnayim. Same in terms of how many different shades. 2 points to make over here. Number one, Tosas points out that. You remember back in Shavuos, in the very beginning of Shavuos, how many shades of tzaras were we talking about over there? Four. So Tosas wonders, over here we're talking about 36 or 72 different shades of tzaras, when the Mishnah in Shavuos says there are only four shades. So Tosas answers, no. The Mishnah in Shavuos is talking about the different shades of white. Meaning we're just talking about the nega of tzaras, the white discoloration that occurs on the skin. That comes in four different shades of white. But when it comes, in other words, if you take the whole gamut of tzaras, colors, discolorations on the house, which are either green or red, and its shades of green and red, and discolorations that exist on the head and on the beard, where a yellow is a discoloration over there, there are other types of tzaras, that other types of discolorations, the entire gamut is either 36 or 72. Another point made by Tosos, second Tosos on the page, is what's the connection? So Tosos says, I'm sure a number of you guessed it already. The connection is Lashon Hara, right. Meaning over here, 36 or 72 bells for the Me'il, 36 or 72 discolorations for Tzara'as. They both are Mechaper for Lashon Hara. Wow. Sorry, this, I switched around the Tosfos system. This is the first Tosfos. Peirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Tali Hai Bahai, Mishum de Me'il Bala Chaper Lashon Hara, the Chain Negain Bayim Al Lashon Hara. The Me'il, as we're going to learn in just a moment, comes as an atonement for Lashon Hara, as does Saraz come as a result of Lashon Hara. So that's why they're both connected, 36 and 72.
Is that for the Kohen? For himself or for him doing the service for all?
We'll see. It's for him to be Mechaper for others. Amar, I'm sorry. Amashimashaim. Amarabi Einene Bar Sasson. Lamanismacha Parsha Karbanos Parsha's Big Day Kahuna. Yeah. So why are the Karbanos right next to the Parsha of Big Day Kahuna? Allah Malacha, my Karbanos Mechaper, Maf Big Day Kahuna Mechaper. The Karban is Mechaper, Big Day Kohen is Mechaper. Again, my friend Rabbi Weil yesterday gave the Chabura after the Ashkama Minyan. He quoted this Gemara over here. It sounds like the Big Day Kohen is a function of the Avoda. Okay? Which he spoke about at length yesterday. So ketonis mechaper so shlichas dam. So the ketonis, that's the bottom layer. That is mechaper shlichas dam. Shenema vishchutu sirizim vaybelu es a ketonis bedam. They took the ketonis and they dipped it in the blood. Those are referring to the brothers of Yosef. Mechnesai mechaper so gilu arayus. Mechnesai are mechaper for the sins of gilu arayus. For immoral behavior, shenema vaselahem mechnesei vad lechasos bisar erva. Right, for obvious reasons, it covers the erva. Mitznefes mechaperes al gazei aruach. The mitznefes, that's the hat worn by the Kohen Gadol. It's mechaper for arrogance. Arrogance. It's interesting. Arrogance is not a. It's a midos issue, right? It's not a formal sin. Meaning, you don't get warned by two witnesses, right? Don't be arrogant, and you're arrogant, and there's it doesn't, right? It's a midos issue. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a formal law in the Torah, but still it's a midos issue. And what atones for that is the mitznefes worn by the Kohen Gadol. And again, the imagery, it should be obvious. Minayin am Rabbi Chanina yavo davar shebe begova v'chaper al gova. Because it's worn on the top of the coin's head, and arrogance is when you feel that you are high and exalted.
Avnei, you wear a yarmulke
to write,
not to show somebody higher than you.
Correct.
To keep you,
correct. Keep you humble. You're right. Right. You're a malchus. Avnei mechaper al hirhur halev. The belt atones for thoughts of the heart. Belts worn right below the heart. Hecha de isay. And the Gemara says exactly that because that's where it is. It's right below the heart. Choshen is breastplate worn by the Kohen Gadol. Mechaper al hadinim for miscarriages of justice. Shenemar v'asitza choshen mishpat. Ephod, that's the apron worn by the Kohen. So mechaper al avodas kocham. Shenemar ein ephod v'trafim. There is no ephod v'trafim. Trafim, of course, is idolatry, the little idols. Right, Rachel hid the trafim, so ain ephod v'trafim, they don't coexist. Meaning, as long as there's an ephod, there's a kapar for the trafim. Me'il mechaper al lashon hara, as we just saw on Tosfos on the top of the page, the me'il serves as an atonement for lashon hara. Minayin am Rabbi Chanin, yavo davar shebekol v'yichaper al kol hara. Because we just learned about the bells on the bottom of the me'il, so that means when the Kohen's walking, you heard the Kohen Gadol. Right, with his little bells, giving you fair notice that the Kohen Gadol is coming up. So, and the connection over here is that when you're speaking lashon hara, you're also creating a sound. The tzitz mechaper al.
The meal, the bottom was sown. You know, the hem, so the
mouth should be sown. I like that.
Right.
Should sew up your mouth, much like they sew the bottom of the meal. Tzitz mechaper al azus panim. The tzitz, the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol. By the way, all these begadim that we're discussing are Kohen Gadol begadim. Right? In other words, this idea of the begadim mechaper from our Gemara, it sounds like only the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, not the begadim of a Kohen Hedjo. It certainly sounds that way. Mechaper al azus panim. Right? Arrogance. Brazenness. Chutzpah. Chutzpah. So, b'tzitz k'siv aya al meitzach aron. It says that he wore it on the meitzach on his forehead. Uva'azus panim k'siv u meitzach isha zona hayalach. Right, the zona, the prostitute, had meitzach. She had a protruding forehead. Okay. It's a sign of chutzpah, brazenness. Ini v'amar av Yoshua ben Levi shnei dvarim l'matzin lahem kapar b'kaparnos l'matzin lahem kapar b'makam acher. Ve'ilahin shvichas damim v'lashon hara. Shvichas damim me'agla rufa. Or the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We find a kapara for shvichos damim, and that is in the form of the egla rufa. Lashon hara mikataras. And lashon hara, where is the kapara received? From the kataras. That ni rav chanina minala kataras shemechaper shenemar. V'itenes the kataras mechaper la'am. utni debe Rav Yishmael al ma ketores mechaperas al lashon hara. Right, the ketores is mechaper for lashon hara. Why? What's the connection? Yavo davar shebechashay vechaper al master chashay. Because where's the ketores done? In a private place, in the Beis Hamikdash. Where's lashon hara spoken? Usually in a private place. I told you the definition of a secret is something that you tell only one person at a time. That's lashon hara. So the Gemara says kasha lashon hara kasha shvichas damen shvichas damen. The Gemara is bothered with a very technical problem, meaning that we said the clothing of the kohen is mechaper for lashon hara and for shvichas damen. Right, ketones is for shvichas damen, mil for lashon hara. And meanwhile, in this brisa that we just quoted, it's the ketores for lashon hara and the egla arufa for shvichas damim. The Gemara provides very basic answers. Lo kasha ha diyada man katle ha delo yada man katle. The egla arufa serves as a kapara when we don't know who the murderer is. If we do know who the murderer is, but we can't bring him to trial, right? And the Gemara says idiyada man katle bar ketalu b'mezid. Right, bar ketalahu b'meizev v'lo asrabe. So the Gemara says, in our case, we know who the murderer is, but for technical reasons, because remember, there's such due process. For technical reasons, we can't bring him to trial. So he wasn't warned. So therefore, there was a murder that took place, and we need a kapara. Now, by the way, this kapara is for the murderer. I don't think so.
No.
I think it's for everybody else who were right accomplices to the murder. I get the impression that that's what the kapara is that we're talking about. I can't possibly imagine that this person who killed Bimezid, who killed intentionally, just because the Kohen Gadol is wearing his ketones, I believe. Hopefully, I'm correct in saying this.
Unintentional murder.
Well, it says b'meizid v'lo asur b'ein. The Gemara says b'meizid. So I'd venture to say that the kapara that we're talking about over here is for the general population who were
society.
Correct. Who were in ways that maybe I cannot articulate were damaged and corrupted by the murder. Lashon. Right. Correct. And again, the ketores, which serves as the kapar for lashon hara, that's for the private lashon hara, right? Spoken in behind closed doors. The me'il worn by the Kohen Gadol, that's for lashon hara that's spoken before hesia. That's the public lashon hara where we broadcast it over, you know, the radio, the internet, those kinds of lashon hara. Facebook. Hadron Allah Mizbech Mekadesh, and that is the end of the ninth parak of Zvachim.